Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome into an Inside Carolina offseason podcast. I'm Taylor Viplis hosting, and it's a fun one today. We have a snake draft where we are drafting a Carolina basketball starting five, but the catch is you only get one player from each of the past five decades. So the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, and the 2020s. The player just had to play in that decade. Got a star-studded cast if you're watching on video. Inside Carolina's Greg Barnes and Sherelle McMillan joining. And we needed that former player perspective, so I went through my Rolodex, and I thought, who better? National champion, now color analyst for the Tar Heels, Marcus Gaynard. Marcus, you're the guest coming to Inside Carolina, so I'll start with you. How are you doing? How much time went into your big board?
Man, listen, I'm doing very, very well. I appreciate you going deep into your Rolodex to scoop me up for the episode, man. I'm greatly appreciative. I'm nervous. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm nervous. Never been a GM before, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited about this, man. I think we're going to have some good picks coming up here.
A little tryout as a GM. Now, offline, Rel said, I don't have a big board. I'm going all gut. Rel, is there any chance that could backfire on you?
No, I've got 40 some years of UNC basketball knowledge stored in here. So I'm going to stew guts this, and I'm just going to shoot from the hip.
And Greg, you normally bring the analytics. How much have you been crunching numbers, and what kind of went into your prep for this?
I'm a little bit with Rel here. I do have some numbers that play a role in it, but we're not getting any younger. And I know Taylor, you and Marcus are still relatively young guys, but Rel and I have been around the block. So I feel like if you said this was going to be like the 60s and 70s, that would have been a little bit of a problem. But I grew up when Jordan was playing for Carolina. So I feel like I've got a pretty good feel for the players throughout the last five decades.
We predetermined the draft order off camera. Marcus got choice of what pick he wanted first, and he went with the number one pick. So Marcus, do the honors, say the player, and for the most part, I think we could all tell what decade the player played for, but if there's any middle ground, then just let us know what decade.
Yeah, so I'm just telling you the decade right now. Or this is my pick. My pick is in. I'm on the clock. How much time I got? I'm going MJ, man. I'm going to take MJ. I got to take MJ. I mean, I feel like that's a tough place not to start, right? Let's go MJ.
Nobody could argue that pick, I don't think. But Rel, you've got the second pick here. MJ off the board. Where are you going?
I'm going to his teammate, who people have forgotten was actually the best player on the court in that 1982 championship game, James Worthy. National title, NBA title, Hall of Famer, book it.
So whenever we talk about Worthy, I've got to throw this in. So I went to Greer Junior High, which is where James played basketball growing up. And the couple of years that I played, because we didn't have a lot of money, they would rotate uniforms. And so the 2 years that I played in eighth and ninth grade, we wore the exact same uniforms that James Worthy's teams wore when he played for Greer, I guess, back in the 70s.
Wow.
So that's my famous story about James Worthy in Gastonia. That's as close as we got. So,
a little run of players in the 80s right now could affect the board coming up. I have the third pick. I'm going to go the 90s, and I am going to pick Antoine Jamison, ACC Player of the Year in 98, retired jersey number for Carolina. I love Antoine. He was very high up on my board. MJ was my one, but getting Antoine here, I feel like is some pretty good value at the three spot. Greg is up with the snake draft going 4 and 5.
You know, that was a strategic play to try to get the 4 and 5 spots. So I go back to back, and I have to be honest with you guys. You all three had good picks, but I feel like the number one player, college player, in North Carolina basketball history is still on the board. So thank you guys for that, and I'm taking Mr. Tyler Hansbrough.
A teammate. Yeah,
Marcus. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you 100%, man. The great thing about this draft is that it's incredibly challenging, right? And all, I feel like all our teams are going to be great. What a beautiful thing to be a part of Carolina basketball. But you're right, man. That's a great pick. Great pick.
So, Marcus, are you going to get any pushback since you didn't pick your teammate?
Not anymore.
Michael Jordan over your teammate.
Not any more pushback than I already get. I mean, gosh, I live 5 minutes from Tyler. I see him once every couple months, so I don't even know when he'll even have a chance to push back. So we'll see, man. We'll see.
And Greg, you got the draft coming back to you for the start of round two. 2000's off the board for you.
Yeah. And my number two pick would also be in the 2000s. Because I didn't think Tyler would be available. So I can't make my true number two pick, which tells you how good the 2000s were. So I'm going to go point guard, and I'm going to go in the 1980s. I'm going to go Kenny Smith. And to give you some numbers for Kenny in 87, 17 points a game, 6 assists, 50% from the floor, 41% from three. He was stout, 81% from the free throw line. So he was very good. I think everybody remembers not too fondly him getting hurt in 84 and kind of limiting what that team could have done as good as that group was. We've talked about injuries way too much with Carolina basketball over the years. But I'm taking Kenny Smith, the Jet.
Three 80s picks. So I'm the only person picking 80s left. So I could wait for that if I want. But I also want to. I want a round starting five where it's like I can imagine this team playing. So if I see somebody that I'm going to get, but Greg, when you went Tyler Hansbrough locking up the 2000s for you, that sealed my pick for the 2000s. I'm going point guard, maybe the fastest point guard that's ever played college basketball. I'm going Ty Lawson. So Ty Lawson paired with Antoine Jamison, 90s, 2000s off the board for me. Rel, it's bouncing back to you. Who's your big two with James Worthy to start it?
Well, I'm a little worried because there's one player who everyone knows I'm going to pick. So I'm out of leverage there in the 2000s. So I'm trying to think about who Marcus might pick, and I don't think he's going to pick this person. So I'm going to go to the 90s. and I'm going to fill out my front court with Rasheed Wallace. So I'm going Rasheed Wallace at the five and James Worthy at the four. Or James Worthy at the four and Rasheed Wallace at the five, depending on how I feel.
That's solid.
Greg, you like the pick?
I do, for sure. Ball don't lie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Marcus, back-to-back picks here.
Oh, I got back-to-back picks? Oh, yeah. I'm not ready. Oh, man. And you got to, like, take away the emotional connection, right? Because I know some of these guys, a lot of these guys. I definitely took the emotion out when I didn't pick Tyler. But I'm going to go 2000s. Gosh, this is so challenging. I'm just going to go with my gut, guys. I'm going to go Big May, Sean May. We gotta get a presence inside. You know how we play. We play fast. We get up and down the court, but we got to get the ball inside. I think that there's certainly not a lot of folks that had the presence that he did, scored the basketball the way that he did. That was a bucket the way that he was. National champ, Final Four MVP. Well, I love the pick. I love the pick. Welcome to the squad.
I love the pick. One for the sentimental reason for that 2005 team to me. I was pretty young during that 2005 team, and I grew up in New York. I didn't really have a college basketball team, and that was probably one of the first teams that I actually remember watching a good majority of their games and kind of falling in love with Carolina. So I love the pick. You can't go wrong with a player like Sean May. Start of round three, you've got your 80s and you've got your 2000s with MJ and Sean May, Marcus.
Oh gosh, guys. Do you see the stress that this is causing me right now? Like, this is supposed to be like a happy time.
No 2010s yet and no 2020s yet.
I'm looking at 2010s. Like, I'm thinking about jumping in there. Gosh, thinking about Kenny Smith. I feel like, you know, you got to get a point guard, right? So, I don't know. Who grabbed Kenny Smith?
Greg.
I did.
Greg, good choice. You got to have somebody to run the show. Again, man, top of mind, man. I just bumped into him a couple of days ago here in Chapel Hill. I mean, we're going to have a lot of guys that can score the basketball. Let's go Kendall Marshall, point guard, 2010s. Let's get somebody out here distributing the ball, pass first. Love the way that he distributed the basketball. It's going to make everybody around him better. Not that any of these people need to be made any better, but Kendall Marshall.
He elevates everybody. Rel, the pick is coming to you for round three. You have James Worthy and Rasheed Wallace so far.
So one thing about Sean May I wanted to point out, I thought was interesting. I always go back to that national championship game you were talking about, Taylor. And if you look at the stat sheet, look at how many shots Sean May had in the game. Because if you think about the game just from your memory, it's like, oh, he put up, you know, he had 17 shots, 18 shots. I think he had 11 total attempts on the field in that game, but he dominated with 11 field goal attempts. So that's always funny to me. But I'm going to go to the 2000s now to his teammate. And I was surprised that Taylor took the second best Carolina point guard from the 2000s so early when the best point guard was still available. That shocked me. So I'm going to go to 2005 and Raymond Felton as my point guard.
Wow.
A couple jabs thrown in there, a couple jabs, but
I feel like Ty didn't deserve that.
Friendly jabs. There's nothing wrong with being the second best point guard of the 2000s of Carolina. That means you're like really good. Nothing wrong with that.
That's the thing about this whole exercise, right? Like, I mean, we're talking about some phenomenal players. Like, there's going to be somebody that thinks they get snubbed here, you know?
Okay, I am on the clock, round three. Lack of preparation because I was not ready for this one right now. I'm going to go, man. I think I could get this guy later, so I'm not going to pick him right now. I think I could get him on the comeback. So I am going to go. What does my team need? Kind of like a guard, wing. I'm going emotional. I'm picking Marcus Page.
I think that's wrong.
He wasn't on my initial board, but I'm looking at what I need. The 2010s was kind of going to kind of be like a filler pick for me in round five. But once the 80s kind of went pretty quickly, I'm going to go Marcus Page at my two guard and pair him with Ty Lawson. And I feel like we've seen Marcus before with the two point guards, so we can know that can kind of work and how he coexisted with Joel Berry in his backcourt. So yeah, after round three, I've got Antoine, Ty Lawson, Marcus Page.
And going Jerry Stackhouse for the 90s.
Stack for the 90s. That's a
the stack dunk versus Duke is always
amazing.
You gotta do
you get
like
bonus
this.
Points for that. Yeah, you get bonus points for that. Before we wrap up, a big shout out to our friends at Congruity. Congruity is a North Carolina-based national coverage local presence company with personal support straight from the Tar Heel State. Congruity is empowering small and mid-sized business owners with HR and payroll outsourcing, enabling you to grow your business while they take care of your greatest assets, your people. And they are doing it with top-of-the-line technology and services for every stage of your business's growth with a state-of-the-art online platform. Congruity, they are obsessed with customer service where they become part of your team. They do the heavy lifting, providing essential admin support with a single point of contact and support available on demand with services that are tailor-made for you, transforming your organization. Congruity has helped hundreds of businesses improve and enhance their day-to-day lives, level up your HR capabilities, save money, unlock game-changing growth. Visit congruityhr.com/Tar Heels to learn all about Congruity. Fill out a quick form to be connected to their consultants, and they'll give Inside Carolina listeners or viewers a payroll and HR assessment for free. That's congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. All right, back to the episode. And then Greg, wrapping it back, round four.
I'm going to solidify my front court. And Tyler is the gritty, physical, mean, underappreciated athlete. So I'm going to go with a guy who took a little while to develop and then became one of the best players, if not the best player in the country. So I'm going to go Bryce Johnson.
I like that. I just want to applaud you for that. Maybe a name that, I mean, I don't know. It depends on who you ask, right? But I love Bryce Johnson, love what he gave to this squad. Somebody asked me the other day, like, man, or I mean, not the other day, but like during March Madness, like when have you seen somebody rebound the way that, I don't know, probably Harrison. They're probably talking about Harrison or maybe Armando. And I was like, Bryce Johnson. Like, that guy was a damn beast on both ends of the floor. Anyway, love that pick. Just want to give my applause to that.
And look, I'll tell you this story about
season. Yeah.
Was phenomenal, but I'll tell this story. I'm trying to think what year it was. I think it was August of 14. But Carolina had gone down in August to the Bahamas, and it was, I'm trying to think if that was DeAndre Ayton-Jr. That may have been before his time. Cause you know, he played as a high school kid, like when he's 15 on the team that won that year, beat Carolina down there. But Bryce twisted his ankle, and this is August. So he twisted his ankle in this game and couldn't play. You know, called himself out of the game, went over. And like the entire second half, I'm watching Roy every 5 minutes, it seems, goes over to Bryce and is encouraging him. And at some point along the way, Roy just gets ticked off and starts stamping his foot and slapping his hands. And I don't know that Bryce ever came back in. But guys, ankle tape back up. And after the game, you know, we were able to grab Roy for 5 minutes before they hopped on the bus. And all Roy wanted to talk about was how there's a difference in being injured and being hurt, and that Bryce needed to learn that to be able to take the next step. And so he was trying to get Bryce back out on the court to be able to play through some of that pain, knowing that it wasn't going to hurt him any worse. It was August. And I vividly remember that being like, all right, well, we're getting pretty close to, you know, is this going to make the difference for Bryce? Is it going to flip the switch? And I don't know if that's actually what it was, but that kind of speaks to the work that Roy Williams was doing, trying to get Bryce to develop, especially mentally. And obviously it paid off for Bryce, but I always found that very interesting that Roy was pushing him to that regard in August of a year, you know, three months before the season actually started.
I love that pick. I was going to say before you started talking, the leap he made in that 2016 season where he became one of the most unguardable players in the entire country. And I've mentioned it a few times, but when Carolina was in the Elite Eight, they had just won in the Elite Eight, waiting to see who they were going to play in the Final Four. It was Virginia versus Syracuse. And when Syracuse upset Virginia, knowing what Bryce could do in the middle of that zone and operating in that, you know, the short corner and as a lob threat, the least worried I've ever been about a game when Carolina matched up with Syracuse in the Final Four. I was like, yeah, book the ticket. Carolina's playing on Monday. You could guarantee it. I'm going to be the first person to take somebody from the 2020s. I have Ty Lawson, I have Marcus Paige, I have Antoine. So I need a big and a wing for the most part.
Can I ask you a question before you go, Taylor? I need a judgment. So if a player, say they played in 99, 2000.
If they played one game in that decade, they count.
Oh, okay. That changes the strategy. Thank you.
Yeah.
It does indeed. Oh, my gosh.
And it doesn't matter what decade they were better in. You're just getting them as a player overall. Because I did think about that a couple of times. Guys who played in one decade, but then they got much better in another decade. I'm going 2020s. I'm going a wing, somebody from this past Carolina team. If you're a dog, you could play for me. And Harrison Ingram is a dog. You can never have too many leaders, vocal guys on the court. You pair him with Ty Lawson. You pair him with Marcus Paige. You pair him with Antoine. You don't need a ton of scoring. And everything that Harrison Ingram does, which is a lot of everything, I love his fit. And especially in the 2020s, where I wasn't really too sure where I was going to go with that pick and kind of waiting to see where the draft kind of fell and what kind of team I was going to put around that person. But the more I look at it, the more I like Harrison Ingram as my 2020 pick. 20s. Rel, back to you.
Yeah, this is tough. I asked that about the two decades because there's a player on the 1920 team that I was considering. But I wasn't quite sure. So obviously my team, I have James Worthy, Rasheed Wallace, Raymond Felton. I need wings. I need another guard. There are three wings in the 2010s that I would pick and feel fine with. I could pick Reggie Bullock. I could pick Justin Jackson. I could pick Cam Johnson. Would feel great. But because there's three of them, y'all can't pick all three of them. So I know one's going to be there. So I'm going to get my two guard, and I'm going to take Coby White from the 2019-2020 team.
Wow, Coby White played in 2020?
No, you're right. Never mind. Never mind.
Let's back check him.
He definitely did not. That 2020 season got canceled, and he was not on that team.
We just went over this, Rel.
So the same thing applies then. Then I'm going to take Cole Anthony then as my two guard.
Also solid.
Cole Anthony is a much better player than I think Carolina fans remember him. Because of how that team really struggled that year.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing with that season, and Ben Sherman and I had this conversation quite a bit, is he dominated the ball. And some thought, and I thought this early, that it was almost like he was overpowering the team to such an extent that it kind of hurt the team. But as that season played out and he came back, it became very clear that he had to do that for that team to be competitive. There just wasn't enough around him, especially, you know, in the backcourt, for that team to really be effective and have a chance to win some games. So I agree with you. It's a little bit of an enigma in terms of how people remember him as a Tar Heel. Granted, he was hurt a lot that year too. But undoubtedly, he was the best player on that team and head and shoulders above everybody else. And I know Garrison clearly had a good year that year, and that was in the kind of his good run. But Armando was on that team, and he was young. I think Robinson was on that team. He had some injuries as well. So it's just kind of a tough season to try to kind of establish a narrative about who Cole actually was and what he could do.
Yeah, and still to this day, if you ask me what are my favorite memories from Carolina basketball, it's not going to be on anybody's board, but Cole Anthony going out there the first game in goggles, where it was very clear he did not need those goggles. And he threw that first shot and almost broke the backboard in the Dean Dome. Oh, and then I think by the first media timeout, he was not wearing those goggles anymore. And then when they asked him in the post game why he was wearing them, he was kind of like, I kind of thought they looked cool. It's one of my favorite memories. And that's
how many points did he have that game?
A lot.
You remember?
31, 32?
34, I'm guessing.
34, wow. Right.
34. Oh, he had like 8 threes.
6 of 11 from 3. 6, yeah.
All right, Marcus, finish round 4 here. You have 80s, 2000s, 2010s picked already.
All right. I'll be honest with you guys, man. I'm trying to do my best to pull up a board here. Just trying to get my head together here. All right, let's we'll go the 2020s. I don't even know how to call these decades now. The 20s. We're back into the 20s. That's crazy. I'm going to go RJ Davis. I mean, love playing him off the ball. We got Kendall kind of running the show, so to speak, and then RJ just free to just let loose, and we all know what that looks like when he's out there comfortable. I need that. I need RJ Davis. Welcome back, RJ Davis. I'm excited for another year of that magic on the court, heel for the heels.
And you saw what moving RJ Davis off the ball with a point guard like Elliott Cadeau did, and kind of unlocking him to just focusing on being that natural scorer that he is at all three levels. Kendall Marshall is just that next level. It's like a early stage Pokemon. If Elliott Cadeau progresses and evolves, he turns into Kendall Marshall. Kendall Marshall's the final form.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
A quick break so I could remind everybody about our friends over at Johnny T-Shirt. They are currently running great deals. They have all the Carolina apparel that the Carolina fan could possibly want. The hats, the T-shirts, the jerseys, you name it. They have it. It's great people and great customer service. And don't forget, Inside Carolina premium subscribers save 10% off their orders. You can go online at johnnytshirt.com, or you could visit them in Chapel Hill on Franklin Street. Marcus, do the honors. You're rounding out your team here with somebody from the 90s.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Man, this is – I need a 4, right? Let's see. I got RJ running the 2, Kendall running the 1, Big May at the 5. Yes, you call MJ the 3. 90s 4. Yikes. What's my time? How much time do I have? You get,
as long as you're talking it out, you got time.
Time. I need time. How big is, yeah, you know what? Gosh, man. Again, I know that nobody's out here. I mean, there's going to be, there's people out here judging us, right? There's going to be people out here judging us. Why did you take him? You should have took him. Whatever. You know what? I welcome them to come sit in this hot seat. The seat's hot. We got great players that came through here. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back home, you know? And again, a little sentimental, a guy that's been a great, a great guy to be around since I've graduated and got to know when I was in school, but also a phenomenal player, obviously, like all these guys. But I'll round out with George Lynch. Give me a little height. 6'8" is what I'm looking at right now. Yeah, I feel real good about that, actually. I feel real good about that.
NCAA champ, first team All-ACC.
Get some versatility. I mean, everybody here. I mean, I guess. Well, I mean, we got some guys that. Well, one that missed the champ, and one that still got one to earn. But I feel good, guys. I feel real good about my squad. Put my squad up against anybody's squad. What's up? Let's go. Can we like get these guys out of retirement and on the court? What's up?
I know MJ would love it.
Yes, we can get that done.
He'd lay some off tomorrow.
That'd be awesome.
Finish out your draft. You got James Worthy, 80s, Rasheed Wallace, 90s, Felton, 2000s, Cole Anthony, 2020s. So you mentioned having the choice of wings. You got a choice of all three, so the power's in your hand.
All right, just give me a second to breathe. I'm going to tell a little story before I make my pick. One, both of these guys are my guys, so this is going to be very hard to pick between Justin Jackson and Cam Johnson. That's where I'm down to. Cam Johnson, everybody knows he was a transfer from Pittsburgh. So I've been obviously with IC for a long time. That summer, you know, North Carolina had just won the national championship. They were looking for someone to replace Justin Jackson. I had just had our first daughter. So this is she's probably a month old. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. We had gotten word that UNC was interested in Cam Johnson, that Cam Johnson was interested in Carolina, but they weren't going to let him transfer in conference without sitting out 2 years, all this stuff. So we had emailed Pittsburgh sports information director to get clarity and get a statement on the record. I did that at probably, I don't know, 2 p.m. the day before, but because I had a newborn and I was exhausted, I fell asleep and didn't check my email. And she woke up crying at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, oh, let me check my email real quick. And there it was, like this golden message from the Pittsburgh, you know, SID that was like, yes, we are withholding Cam Johnson from transferring, blah, 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 on the record. So instead of texting Ben at 3 o'clock in the morning, just put it on the message board. And when I woke up, it had like 1,000 views or like 1,000 responses, and like it had become a thing. Jay Billis had tweeted about it. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's what happens when you work the whole day, you know, into 3 o'clock in the morning. So anyway, that's my Cam Johnson recruitment story. Justin Jackson's my guy, man. Yeah, I've covered that guy for a long time. But for this particular team, I think I have to go with Cam because he had arguably the best shooting season in Carolina history his last year at Carolina. So that's a vital piece to my team. But Justin's my guy. He would be my sixth man. If we did this tomorrow, he might be there instead of Cam. But I'm going with Cam tonight.
With the way the board shakes out, you have to go. Also, you mentioned the overnight text. I've always feared being like a Woj or a Shams. I don't understand how those guys sleep. I don't think they do.
They can't. There's no way they do.
And like that fear of like missing that text, knowing like that's your career and the opportunity to break it. Like Rel does a great job with Inside Carolina. If he gets it out at 3 a.m. or if he gets it out at 5 a.m. or 7 a.m., Rel's going to be the guy because right. Nobody's checking Rel. Nobody's coming for Rel's spot. Shams and Woj, it's cut.
They gotta sleep in like 30-minute little increments, right? Like, there's no chance they can sleep for a full hour. Like, there's no chance. Too much is happening. It's happening too fast.
All right, I am going to round out my draft here with an 80s. I'm looking at the 80s, and I like this pick because I'm looking at what this person did and the accolades. But I'm gonna need some historians help just contextualizing the pick and what he meant for Carolina in that era. I'm going Big Smooth, the Big Easy, Sam Perkins, two-time first team All-American, a second team All-American, NCAA champion. And I needed that 4-5 to kind of complement my team and get a big there. So Rel, Greg, how would you assess that pick?
Yes, he was a really good player back in the 1980s. Is that good enough? No. He was a great outside shooter, but we didn't get to see it in college. We saw it more in the pros. But this is a guy who shot 60% in 84, 18 points a game, 10 rebounds, 2 blocks. He drew a lot of fouls. And because he played with who he played with, he was very much overlooked. But just one of the, you know, one of the top 20, I think, Carolina basketball players to take the court.
Can you imagine him and Rasheed playing with today's rules and today's style? Like, I feel like Rasheed would be the best player in the NBA, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
Greg, finish your draft. You got Hansborough 2000s, Kenny Smith 80s, Stackhouse 90s, Bryce Johnson 2010s.
All right. So the job of a GM is to project forward. And so there's some foreshadowing that comes into play. I'm going to give you some numbers here. Jerry Stackhouse, for those who may not remember, played a lot as a small four in 95 and was really good at it. He averaged 8.2 rebounds per game. Who else is in my front court? Hansborough, 10 rebounds a game his whole career. Bryce Johnson, I think he was at 10.4 rebounds per game. The three of those guys averaged 30 rebounds per game. And a lot of those were offensive. Why is that important? Because I'm taking the best volume scorer in North Carolina basketball history with my two-guard spot, Caleb Love, in the 2020s.
Wow.
A lot of shots going up. You got to be able to rebound.
I didn't know where you were going with that pick, to be honest.
Either. Wow.
When he said projecting, I thought you were going Kendo.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. I was. That's the first shock of the draft.
The biggest, arguably the biggest shot in North Carolina basketball history. I know Caleb has a very kind of controversial career at Carolina.
You'll see that.
Yeah, man. Wow.
Just, right. I love it. Got to have it. So
it's fantastic. And the way he, you know, the portal world is going to have a lot of players leaving, which we haven't really seen in the past. But the way he handled his exit, hopefully kind of cemented his legacy with Carolina fans. He's been nothing but class, you know, and I don't think people realize, and this goes for RJ as well and Armando too, but that young freshman class that came in during COVID and they didn't get to participate in all the offseason stuff that I know Marcus can speak to better than obviously any of us, that really set those guys back. And then, of course, that's Roy's last year. Everybody says, oh, well, they're the reason Roy left, which I don't think is fair. You know, RJ's had the finish that he needed, that, you know, was kind of deserving. Caleb really did not, although he did have success this year at Arizona. So I'm a big fan of Caleb, and, you know, we're kind of limited in the 2020s as well, guys. I mean, we're kind of on the short end of the stick here. But I think Caleb was a very good player for Carolina, and when you send Mike Krzyzewski home for life, that's worth a draft pick as well.
Yeah. Just that moment alone. Just that moment alone.
Yep.
I was thinking, because I got to go to that game with Inside Carolina, sitting, you know, second row. For me, sports moments wise, it's all downhill from here. I have to live with the fact that I peaked, but it's also a great peak. Great it's peak.
Phenomenal peak. And I don't know where it is on my social media. It's somewhere. But I will – first of all, I love staring at this picture. Love that he also signed this picture, Go to Hell Duke. Love that. And I took a video of the whole crowd, and I'll never forget hitting Bobby Fraser at the end of the video. Excuse the expletives, bury him, you know, and I just love this. So just think about that video and just Bobby at the end of the video. And that's, I mean, it's literally exactly what he did. Just buried the Dukies, buried Coach K. Absolutely love it.
To recap the teams, we've got Greg, Tyler Hansbrough, Kenny Smith, Jerry Stackhouse, Bryce Johnson, Caleb Love. Myself, I have Antoine Jameson, Ty Lawson, Marcus Page, Harrison Ingram, Sam Perkins. Rel has James Worthy, Rasheed Wallace, Ray Felton, Cole Anthony, Cam Johnson. And then Marcus has Michael Jordan, Sean May, Kendall Marshall, RJ Davis, George Lynch. A couple OLIs. I have my board where I wrote down a bunch of people just to give some people credit and a lot of people that we were probably all considering. From the 80s, I had Brad Daugherty, Rick Fox, Hubert Davis, if you wanted to go specialize, getting a great shooter. The 90s, Vince Carter. I'm kind of surprised nobody wound up getting Vince, but the 90s was a very low.
Thought about him real hard. Thought about him real hard for my 90s pick, yeah.
You have, if you needed a big, Eric Montross, Big Grits, 2000s. Controversial getting put on the graphic and going out with the Carolina fan if you're trying to sway them and trying to get them to vote for you. But we can't deny how good of a basketball player this guy was. Rashawn McCants. I also had Wayne Ellington, Ed Cota, and then from the 2010s, Joel Berry. My original goal was to get Tyler Zeller because I think he's that perfect five that can kind of play with anybody and that ideal Roy Williams big, Cam Johnson, and Kobe White, who – Rel tried to pick Kobe White to give him some credit. Just had the wrong decade. And then in the 2020s, Armando Bacot. And maybe I thought maybe, depending on how some people's teams fit, I could talk myself into Brady Manek being a plug-and-play guy for any of those teams. So when you hear some of those names, Marcus – who are you maybe the most surprised didn't get drafted or who are you giving the longest looks to?
Yeah. So just to like my little disclaimer, I didn't have a draft board. So I apologize to all the guys that I didn't consider and all the guys I didn't pick, right? Like there's just so many guys out there, but Brady Manek was definitely one that was in my mind. I thought about for the 20s. I was surprised that I got RJ Davis. So I was just thinking about him as a backup. Vince, like you mentioned, was somebody that I was really looking at. I mean, half man, half amazing. I wanted a little bit more size, so that's why I went George Lynch. But I don't know, man. I spent some time around George Lynch and Vince Carter. They both feel like the same damn size to me. But, I don't know. Who else have I thought about that didn't get any looks? Harrison Barnes, did anybody throw his name out there?
No.
I mean, again, just part of this exercise is the fact that there's so many great players, man. And like when you think about the 2000s, I mean, okay, some of us are older, some of us are younger. The 2000s for me is like kind of right in the middle of like a little bit of what I saw growing up, like with the late 90s teams, and then obviously what I experienced throughout the 2000s and into the 10s. And it's like, yeah, the 2000s, man. How do you pick a player from the 2000s, man? You know, and you can say that about all these decades, right? So, man, I just want to show love to everybody that played at Carolina. That if Joel Berry is one that, you know, is a surprise that's not on there. But, I mean, again, there's a lot of surprises, man, because of the pedigree of Carolina basketball.
Yeah, the fact that you have Final Four – most outstanding players left off the list, national champions left off the list, all Americans, kind of speaks to how good the North Carolina basketball history is. We'll put it on a graphic. We'll put it to a poll on social media. So we'll see who comes out on top. That person, I'll send them maybe we'll have like a championship belt. Whoever wins the draft gets to control the championship belt. Marcus Gagnier, Terrell McMillan, Greg Barnes, appreciate everybody's time and appreciate everybody watching and listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.